Hello and welcome to Trends.
Microphone check. 1, 2, what is this?
This is Trends. Yeah, that's what this is. And that's as much as I'm going to let you bite that.
And that's all I want. That
Trends is an improvised podcast wherein we are given a topic from our benefactor.
We take it, we put it in a little box. It's marked bada bing, bada boom. We shake it up,
throw
it out, and we explore from every angle.
We just take that topic and explore the bejeebers out of it.
Yeah. Well, we have a bejeebers box.
That's right.
In a bada bing box. So.
Sorry. It moves to the... Yeah. I should say, my name is Levi.
And I'm Daniel Joseph Hetzel.
And we are the Trends hosts.
We have a lot of boxes.
We have a room full of boxes. They're all labeled, clearly. It's not confusing. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows.
Yeah, bada bing is close to the bejeebers box.
Yeah. The bejeebers. Yeah. And then there's a... What? There's a couple of other... There's a...
Bewildered box.
There's Bewildered. There's a Razzmatazz box.
There's a Razzmatazz.
Jazz it up.
Shake, rattle, and roll box, which no one goes
No to. One ever yeah. uses. That's right. There's a boom box.
There's a boom box.
Which I like.
Yeah, that one has fresh batteries put in every year.
And it makes things retro seeming,
yes.
Which is fun.
Yeah, Radio Raheem.
Radio Raheem, exactly. I can see where this is going to be a very late 80s, early 90s focused episode. Wow. We've established pretty firmly that that's where we're headed.
If we hang up anybody on our walls, we don't discriminate.
No. Is that a...
Do the right thing? Remember,
we'll hang up... Yeah. But
he wouldn't hang up
No.
You own your own pizzeria.
Who is that actor?
Danny Aiello.
Yeah. Do you think some people think he's terribly racist?
Probably.
Just in real life? Like, do you think people are like...
pizza.
Man, what the hell is wrong with you?
And he's pizzeria. Like,
It was a movie. Me and Spike Lee are friends.
Yeah.
I love the Knicks.
I know there's a guy that lives in this town that we live in that used to be...
Go on.
He was in
Very Big Trouble
in Little China.
Really?
And so
Kurt Russell lives here?
No. Come on, he wouldn't soil himself with the common man.
That's true.
But, the man who was pitted against Jack Burton in that Big Trouble in Little China, Mr. Lopan himself.
Like, yes.
He apparently lives in the great metropolitan area that we live in. And so, yeah, you can
I
be
like
in,
how vague you're being. Yeah, we can tell everybody. We live in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, Twin Cities. Yeah, we're hanging out in Minneapolis like at Lund's or something, and Mr. Lopan being lying.
I can't believe that's true.
You know damn well that I would be like, Mr. Burton, Chinese girls have no green eyes. You know, I'd have to run up and say something to him.
Yeah, I'm sure he would love that.
So I can only imagine that people run up and bust any of those chops for being Sal.
Yeah. What if they run up and quote Big Trouble in Little China at Danny Aiello?
He would have no idea.
They think he gets
one of his favorite movies.
Oh, it is.
Is it?
Do you know? Have you been to?
I've not been to the Aiello home.
The Aiello Wikipedia entry lately.
The Wikipedia?
Yeah. It lists all his favorite movies, and Big Trouble in Little China is 7th, I think.
There's movies that beat that on his list.
Oh yeah, he loves any movie that has Big in the title. So his favorite movie is Big.
Oh,
the Tom Hanks vehicle.
Yeah, and Stuart Little.
He loves Stuart Little, right?
Because
it's sort of the antithesis of Big, where Stuart Little was happy to be.
But who doesn't love Big? Big is a classic.
It is a classic. You know what? I loved it as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I still love it. I haven't seen it in a while. But it is. It's such a pleasant thing. And I think the key is it's Tom Hanks, and then you got your Fred Savage.
Oh, that's right.
Is there a more charming pairing of people? Like,
no.
They both seem wonderful.
They should have, just broke every camera after they made that movie.
They probably should have. That was it. We have peaked. Because now Fred Savage directs tons of awesome comedy.
Yes,
like,
he does.
He's a great comedy director.
Yeah, he really does. I started noticing his name pop up.
It's everywhere.
Yeah,
if you're like, I really like this, and it's sort of weird and funny. And you're like, probably Fred Savage is directing it or producing it or something. And if you're like, this seems like really realistic war footage. Probably Tom Hanks is involved.
Possibly, because he loves that stuff.
Yeah, he was doing comedies for a while, and then he's like, I'm really into war.
Gentlemen!
Yes?
Come over here.
Oh.
In the wall.
Oh, my God, there's someone trapped in the wall.
I've been shrunk down to fly size.
Oh, you're just on the wall. Why are you so tiny?
Well, I can barely even spot
it. Dan, do you have your magnifying glass?
Yeah, let me get mine.
Dan has a giant oversized...
Don't put it up to me, it'll burn me.
Oh, we're not going to shine the sun through it.
I need to see you better. Just trust me. I'm hideous. Don't look at me.
Oh, don't be ashamed of yourself.
I'm very ugly.
We're all...
Even in my community, which is the standard of beauty is pretty high and ugly list. I'm pretty ugly.
Okay, I mean, that's really complicated. You just made that really confusing.
I have something attached to my leg.
Hold on, so the people that you're from, you guys are all really ugly? Like, compared to what? Like, to human beauty ideals?
Yes.
Is that how you...
If you got your magnifying glass and looked at me, I pretty much look like a ball of hair that has life to it.
I love hair, though. I mean,
it's ugly.
You're like Cousin It. Do you understand? No, I'm sorry.
No.
I assume that's a blank stare. I can't really see you.
Yeah, I can't.
But,
it looks like it's just like the life went out of its stare. Right?
How do you even see, Dan? Are you? Oh, Dan, you're looking through the magnifying glass. Don't let that thing.
You're not ugly. You're very beautiful.
Let me see.
Unless you mean it.
Let me see. Oh wow! Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like a strawberry blonde kind of hair. Yeah.
You don't need to humor me.
I'm not. There's nothing humorous about this.
No, there's nothing. It's very beautiful. Very beautiful creature.
Absolutely.
It's just that I'm a creature. I'm an ugly creature.
We're all. Oh, wow. Don't cry.
I'm going to drop this as a fly.
Oh, okay.
Fly.
Oh, wow. There it goes.
Wow. So, you did drop something.
Are you going to pick. That's a tiny little. Is that a little envelope?
I already got a magnifying glass. Everything will be cool.
Why are you doing that voice now? You started adopting the voice of that character.
No, I didn't.
Let me try and do it. I got it. I can't really. That's pretty high. You try. Whoa, that's too much. That's too much.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Have you ever noticed that if you're around something, you pick up its accent or its speech patterns?
Yeah. Like if I was hanging around Turkish guys, I'd talk Turkish.
What would that sound like? You haven't been around him in a while, have you?
Hey!
Hey! I love strong coffee. Is that right?
Yeah, that's I think
is Turkish, safe, right? Yeah,
Belagos is Turkish, right?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Lebanese. Is Lebanon the same as Turkey?
I know it's in the neighborhood.
Is it?
Yeah, if your neighborhood's Europe or the Middle East.
Wow, this is getting ugly fast. We better... You're really fumbling with that tiny envelope.
Hey, you know, I'm just trying.
Hey, you did the voice again.
No, I didn't. Stop
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I can't.
No, you didn't. I can't even do that guy's voice.
You're trying. You can.
See?
That was, that's what happened. That was a little higher, actually.
Yeah, see? That's what happened.
Okay, just, can you get it open? Because people are waiting with bated breath. Just,
all right.
You can, do you hear the breath? It's bated. There's a worm on there. Is that
breath.
What that? Hmm? Yeah, bated breath. It means you put a worm on your breath to try to catch.
Like put in the oven?
Basted breath is you got to keep it moist. And succulent. You keep your breaths moist.
People are waiting with moist breath.
So it would be like this. Basted breath.
There's just a ton of... As soon as I say what's on this thing, there's a bunch of moist breath that's going to hit me.
No, I'm just waiting with it. Like I have it...
Yeah, you're waiting with it.
Not to use it, just... I just have it with me.
Yeah, but if you're waiting, what are you waiting for with it then?
Just for whatever. Like you got to keep your vocal cords wet so they're not crackly.
I'll have to look that up later.
Dulcet sounds.
Sandpaper.
What?
I just didn't randomly say that word.
It seemed like you just came out of nowhere.
Sandpaper.
Oh, is that what's on the envelope?
Of course.
Let me. Oh, yeah, sandpaper. What? Oh, your voice just went up again. That's weird.
I can't do that voice. I don't know where you...
Oh, okay. This episode's topic is sandpaper.
Sandpaper.
What? Was that Turkish?
Yes.
Man, you were like a...
Super Turkish.
A man of a thousand accents.
Well, two tonight. Turkish and American.
Two is on the way to 1,000.
It's on par,
It's on par. Yeah. It's Charlie Parr to 1,000.
Charlie Parr, the great impressionist.
He loved and now Jack Nicholson. Yeah, like that's what he would do always.
Oh, man, his Jack Nicholson was perfect.
He didn't even push his hair back.
Nope.
He just did it. People knew.
Did it, yeah.
He didn't have
to kind of do the eyes, like, but it was more like Jim Carrey when he'd do that.
Like, yeah.
Jim Carrey, like, no way for it.
Or when he did, hey, what if Jack Nicholson talked out of his butt? That was my favorite.
Oh, I've really. I've only heard about that. You saw him do that?
I did audio. It was audio.
Oh, okay.
But that's what they said he was doing.
He did a lot of Jack Nicholson stuff. He also did What If Jack Nicholson Was a Baker?
Yeah. Which I didn't really, like.
What it was if Jack Nicholson was Moses?
Yeah.
You're like, well, okay.
And he even did a bunch of, like, what if Jack Nicholson was in the movie and it was, like, Goonies and, like, other movies that Jack Nicholson wasn't in.
It'll be, like, a one-man show and it'll just be, like... Like you just said, Jack Nicholson and Goonies.
Well, the weirdest is he would do, like, The Shining, but Jack Nicholson has all the other characters.
Yeah, because he's done, because I saw him one time do Mars Attacks that way, too.
Yeah, or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, he was
Cuckoo's
the...
Nest?
Yeah, do you not know that one? It's a sequel.
I don't know that one.
It's a sequel, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's
The Caribbean version?
Yeah. So there's a lot of fresh chocolate beans. So our episode's topic is sandpaper, and we're going to take a quick break and come right back and hit it hard, super hard.
Well, somebody put sandpaper on that button. Okay.
Together on the sand.
Welcome back to Trends.
Pleased to meet you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Please forgive me if I... Today's episode is sandpaper.
Sandpaper.
That's what we're talking about. All about sandpaper. Now, Dan, do you have a lot of history with sandpaper? A lot of uses in your life? Have you done a lot?
No. We've all used it for its purpose, sand something down, but like it was one of those mysterious things that was always in my dad's toolbox when I was a kid.
Did you ever want to play with it?
I played it all the time, but I was like, what the hell do you do with this stuff,
I remember distinctly when I was young, my mother was very handy. She would just fix stuff around the house, and I got a hold of some sandpaper, and I thought it was magical the way it would make something smooth.
Yeah,
and it even would make smooth things smoother. So for a brief time, I was actually taking sandpaper to furniture in the house, and rubbing bald patches into chair legs and stuff. And I was, I think I was 10, too old to be doing that. But I just thought it was amazing. And then I would hey, feel this. It's so smooth. And my mom would just, oh, that's great. You ruined another thing. Nice. Great job.
So could that make Barry White smoother?
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing that could make Barry White any smoother. You know what they thought about for a while? There was a sort of a second act of his career when they were going to have him start touring again.
Yeah, we just can't do
They were going to do Barry White and the Sandpapers. And so it was going to be a bunch of super smooth vocalists singing along with them, called the Sandpapers.
Sandpapers?
Well, that would have been really smart. They were just the Sandpapers. Yeah. No one ever came to that next step.
Yeah,
but I think the biggest flaw was that they thought it would be great to have them dress in sandpaper attire. So they had these suits, and they were doing Temptation style.
And, they were made out of sandpaper.
Spin moves, spinning in a circle and stuff. Woo!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then they'd all rub their sandpaper stuff and just crazy friction, and the suit started wearing out. Yeah, it would have been a great marimba thing, but it ended up as a total train wreck. They did one performance and the sandpaper made too much noise, and the guys twisting, they all fell over, and Barry White was thrown off. He actually became less smooth as a result of the sandpaper.
The opposite of sandpaper.
Yeah, that's what it was. Barry White became the opposite of sandpaper.
The sandpapers. If it was called the liquid sandpapers, Pepper would have done all right.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if liquid sandpaper has been invented, paper.
They've invented everything. They just withhold it from you. You know how the system works.
Are you saying everything's been invented?
Yeah, they've cured cancer. They've cured AIDS. Well, they invented AIDS. Then they cured it. They've also pretty much any meteorological storm they created. They have the technology to do that.
Who's they? Who are you talking about?
You know, the five people that run the world. You know,
the five people.
Yeah, you know.
Is this from the internet? Is this what you're talking about?
It's from life. This is from.
You mean life.com?
Yo, you just mentioned the five people running the world.
Hey, Joppers.
Yeah? Well, Dan and I know who run the world. We actually have that information.
Okay. Go ahead. Why don't you share with us your bizarre theories?
We don't want to die.
Die? How would you die from telling us
nonsense? Well, if those five people heard this, which is a very good chance that they might.
Is Sir Laughs-a-Lot one of them? Oh, you got real... I was just kidding. You got real serious. Should I not have said that?
You said it, not me.
All right, I'm sorry. I know we're not supposed to actually mention our benefactor.
But we can mention him. We just can't mention him. What I just said. How do you think I saw the list?
Don't whisper into the microphone.
Think I saw the list?
I don't know. Stop it.
He's at his house. I can't. Just look at me.
Jumpers, you look terrified right now. I've never seen you so scared.
He had a list at his house.
Why are you talking about it? This is being recorded. People are going to hear this. Yes, they will. They can turn it up louder.
Jumpers, man, think of what you're doing.
Yeah. You're going to be dead by morning if you're right. And you're going to feel awful when you're still alive. But what?
I just hit Jumpers. She's gone.
Why would
you? Just a new frenzy, man. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate that. I was just about to reveal who the other phone members were.
No, don't
do
that.
I mean, the five people
Whoa.
On Earth.
Wow.
Oh, I'm just going to go out in the other room.
Okay. Enjoy Ender's Game.
Well, I finished with that a long time ago.
I thought you were rereading it. You thought there were nuances.
I reread it again, my man.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, now I'm reading A Stranger and a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein.
All right. Do you ever read H.G. Wells?
Yeah, I read him.
What do you mean? You just read all of it?
Yeah, all of it, yeah. It's pretty good.
Who else have you read the full works of?
Well, pretty much anybody. Name any of these authors. I've read everything.
Okay, Grisham.
Not John Grisham. I said real authors.
Clancy.
No, I said real authors.
Robert Clancy?
Oh, Robert Clancy.
Yeah.
I never heard of Robert Clancy. I thought you meant
he's
Thomas Clancy.
No, not Tom. That guy's a hack.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you don't read Robert Clancy?
Who's that?
Oh, he's this amazing, it's literature, but there's elements of, genre-y stuff, so there's, sci-fi stuff thrown in.
What?
But it has these deep, rich, emotional characters.
Sci-fi, then.
It's only like hints of sci-fi, but very grounded in reality.
Well, if there's any little bit of sci-fi in it, that makes the whole book sci-fi.
Well, he bristles about that. That's why he stopped writing, Robert. He stopped writing because so many people were saying, well, you write sci-fi. And he's like, no, I write literature, but I also love aliens. You know, like that.
Who doesn't?
Exactly.
That's right.
That's actually the name of one of his books.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, who doesn't?
I'll have to read that. It'll be the first one I pick up, my man.
You should check it out. Appreciate I think you'd it. Like it.
You know, I'm not too crazy about Strange and Strange Lands. I might move on to something else after that. I brought two books with me, as I do everyone, in case I get sick of the one I'm reading.
Yeah. I've been reading Mary Roach books. Do you read nonfiction ever?
Who?
Mary Roach. She wrote Stiff, and she wrote a book about astronauts called Packing for Mars.
No.
And Boink. That's about sex.
That's ridiculous. That's nuts.
The realities of sex. So, like, a synonym for, like, boinking, like sex? Not a synonym.
Synonym.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Right? If you apply a word like boink to sex to make it sound cute, I ain't gonna even deal with you.
I think it was about selling books, you know, not... All right. Well, we come from different worlds when it comes to books.
We do.
And a lot of other areas as well.
Yeah. I'm on Children of Dunes next on my list, so I'm just going to go hit that up.
Well, now that I'd be interested in.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it, my man.
Okay, well, read it first, then tell me. I don't want to hear your guesses.
Worms galore, man. Worms galore.
All right. Jompers is taken off, and he'll be missed, but he'll be back, I assume.
Yeah, he'll be back.
He's not in danger or anything.
No.
Nothing to worry about.
I don't think so. I mean, we were in danger if he mentioned the other... Anyway.
Have you ever used an electric sander? Like, you plug it in and...
Oh, those things are fun.
I have one in my garage. Someone gave it to me as a gift. Yeah. But it's really easy to go overboard.
Super fun, though, right?
It is fun, and then it's sad. Like, because if you're working on a real project, you know, like, I was building these... I got obsessed. Maybe, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, I got obsessed with building blocks, like cubes, for some reason. You know, that people could sit on, and I was using them for some show stuff, some, like, theatrical productions.
Cubes have use, man.
Yeah, they're seats. You can stand on them. You can put stuff... It can be a table or a chair. Yeah. Or, like, a prop thing.
Yeah.
But I made too many of them. Once I made my sixth block of varying sizes, I was like, this is getting on. I have tons of lumber still in my garage, like, in the rafters.
These are crazy.
Yeah, because I was, like, trying to get it the right size, and I wanted it to just be perfect. And there's something about making a block where it can be perfect. You know, like, every side is the same, and every angle is the same.
Otherwise, it's not a cube.
That's what I'm saying, but they were never quite just right. There were all these little flaws.
Well, then you didn't make cubes.
You're going to send me back to my garage, man. I was in there for days, and I didn't come out, and eventually I had to, like, come blinking into the sun and realize.
Well, I'll come get you.
Then you'll tell me they're not cubes, and I'll go back in. It's not helpful.
Man, if you're just making rectangles at that point.
Well, I made a rectangle, too, a really nice long rectangle where three people could sit next to each other on it. What? Which is really useful.
That is super useful. I applaud you.
Initially, I was going to make two cubes and a rectangle. That was my idea.
Did you make some furniture for me, just cubes?
Well, I could make... Yeah.
I want to be cubes, though.
Well, I'm thinking of opening a new... Okay, so now you're going to be too critical. Like,
I'm paying you.
You have money?
I'll pay you to make them, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean...
So they better be cubes. I'm going to measure them, too, when they get to my...
You're going to...
Yeah.
You'll measure them?
Yeah, I'll measure them.
All right, because that's the thing, is I sand them down and try to get the... You'll send them back?
Send them back right
That's
away.
Fine. I'm going to have a garage full of cubes. You know, it's not...
That's
fair. I'm thinking of, eventually, if I can sell cubes, I'm going to save up a down payment and open a storefront and my business, cubes. Yeah, cube front. It'll be just cubes.
Cube.
But here's my concept, and you tell me if it's stupid. I'm going to make up... I'm sorry, what?
No, I just wanted to know. Go ahead.
That's really... What? No, you just said it's stupid.
I was commenting on my cube comment. That's sorry.
No, I like cubed cube.
Yeah.
No. Let's What's wrong with cubed?
We can go into that later.
Why? You don't want to do it now?
Well, I don't know. Just
you're going to taunt me and just leave me hanging out to dry.
Oh, no, not at all. What's the name of your cube store?
I just told you.
Oh, no, that's why I said... Wait.
I said just cubes.
We're talking about something being stupid.
Yeah, you were talking about my cubes.
Your ideas. Yeah. Your ideas are stupid.
Yeah.
No, I haven't even heard
Screw
your ideas
you.
To call them stupid.
You did call them stupid.
No, I didn't.
I was halfway into an idea, and you said that's stupid.
I don't even believe you.
I said, you tell me if this is stupid, and you said it's stupid. Do you remember? I could play the tape back if you want.
No, I believe
it. I don't know if everyone knows this is on a re-recorded
system. He did. I was out here. I could hear it. You said under your breath, it's stupid.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, Levi.
Thank you.
When you're right, you're right.
Thank you, man. It's nice of you to say that. You don't often come to my defense.
Hey, when you're right.
Okay, he didn't even finish that sentence.
No, he didn't.
He just walked off shaking his head.
Yeah.
Like something happened.
I don't know. You must be right.
Maybe that makes him uncomfortable, the idea that I could be right.
It was really good. I mean, I'd go to your cube store.
No, you wouldn't.
Hell yeah.
No,
I would come there with a ruler and stuff like that and measurements.
Oh, you'd come to judge it and tell me that.
I'd literally take to the front, open the door, punt it out into the street.
Really? You're going to do my... You're going to punt my cubes?
Quality control, yeah.
All right. Without being asked.
Yeah.
I think this actually touches on a theme in your career as of thus far that I've noticed, where you take on jobs you've not been hired to do. Like, you will just see something that somebody you know is doing or just a business is doing, and you'll decide that's not up to snuff.
Cupcakes.
Yeah, okay, everyone, so this is important. Tell everybody about, it was like 18 months ago, and you started going into cupcake stores.
Yeah, because I was sick of the TV show Cupcake Wars.
Right.
Terribly sick of it. So I
and you decided to keep it local. Right.
Cupcakes, yeah. Right. So I went to any store. They didn't make it locally. I just took everything. Again, I have this street punt policy.
You're always punting shit.
I was buying it, have them fill it in a bag or a box, and I'd take it out and I'd punt it into the street.
Yeah. Which was hilarious. There's some bakeries that sell those tiny little cupcakes,
and
you made some of those guys just sore.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Just went flying.
Oh, yeah, it's taking me 107 of those.
But the thing that I was amazed by is you're that was obnoxious, and you were making people upset,
but you always
paid for the cupcakes.
Always.
Like, you were like,
look,
I know, you like, ran out of money.
You got to have money to be in a war, right? But hey, a booming economy is a war economy. So
you're right. You're right. You started a war, and you supported local businesses by destroying their product.
Yep, absolutely.
And you actually, I remember a few times in some downtown area, you were punting cupcakes at, like, homeless people, and
it was my punt for homeless project. Yeah.
Right, but that doesn't help anyone.
It helped the homeless. They got to eat cupcakes.
Who says they want cupcakes?
They want food.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not the same thing as feeding someone. No, you kicked food at their faces.
Like, I gave them dessert.
You were hitting dudes in the face.
Yeah, just be like, hey, here's a cupcake. Keep alive, douche. You know.
Yeah. You kept yelling, "Look alive," which is.
Yeah. Well, because, like, literally...
Some of them don't look alive.
One of the homeless guys I just talked to a couple days ago, I mean, you know, this is... I said, how you doing today, you know? He asked me how I'm doing. I said, I'm perfect. Nothing could be better, sir. How are you doing? And he said, I'm above ground.
Do you think he's alluding to, like, an underground layer?
Yeah, you thought there used to be a mole in New York City or something.
Is there moles in New York City?
You know, mole people that live in, you know, the abandoned subway.
No, I don't know about this.
Yeah, you do.
Tell me about it.
You know all about the mole people, don't you?
Do I?
Yeah, like, there's those homeless people in New York. They, like, live down in the... Because there's, like, the first layers of the... there's all these, like, abandoned tunnels and just abandoned levels of...
Is this in New York City?
Yeah. And so, like homeless people have, built homes down there. You know, not homes. I mean, they've built shelters and they've, like... Some of them have electricity and stuff like that. And, you know, they get them out of the power lines. They can hook stuff up. This isn't everybody. It's still pretty miserable. You're living...
Of course. It sounds awful.
Line. I mean, yeah, if you have a VCR, like, yeah, it might make the time go by a little bit faster, but, you know, nothing.
Except how can you get a video nowadays? All the stores
are
closing.
Exactly. But there's a documentary out on it. I mean, you can see it. Like, yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Well, yeah, but it's also...
What's the documentary called? Is it Mole People?
No, it's like Dark Days or something like that.
Dark Days?
Yeah, Dark Days, yeah.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, and actually show... some of the stuff.
So do you think there's people in, some homeless folk in the Twin Cities who used to live in New York?
Possibly.
And, like, came here.
I'm above ground.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. You talk to a lot of homeless people.
I do. Some of the people that talk to me, so, you know.
I think other people would talk to you. I think you actually seek out homeless people.
Well, I just have this homeless Ray that brings them to me, and then I have to, you know, we talk, have a conversation, and we go about our day, you know?
That sounds like the least successful tool for, like, a supervillain, like a homeless Ray, where you can either attract homeless people or make people homeless.
Well, I have it. That's my mutant power.
You see the homeless Ray?
Yeah, the homeless Ray.
Like, zap! I've just made a homeless person appear before me.
Yeah.
And now he will do, well, whatever he wants.
I can kick a cupcake in his face if I don't feel like it.
Do you think homelessness is the true essence of freedom? You know, like, both the pros and the cons of, like, you don't have to follow the confines of society.
But you pay the price.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you know, you can do whatever you want, but you can't, like...
I think it was easier to be homeless probably back in the day.
Like what?
Electricity and stuff.
Like, really?
That. Yeah. That's,
I don't
there's
know.
Tons of people that are homeless, you know?
There were or there are now?
Yeah, there had to be, right? I mean, back in the day, right? I mean,
but
they had communities where, like... It's in a Native American communities where nobody went hungry, you know, and stuff like that.
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying everyone, but there have been some that...
Because they used every part of the buffalo?
They just made sure that, you know, everybody ate, even if they didn't, you know, do their share of the work, you know, whatever. Like, you know, just made sure everybody in the community got fed and stuff.
So like communism, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Communism, like yeah. In the good way. Like, you know, we're all supporting each other and only as strong as the weakest link.
And there's African tribes that have done that too, you know. But it's all like hunter-gatherer kind of people, you know. Like they don't have like, obviously going to the city for jobs and things.
Right,
like that.
Right. Because that system of commerce, the system of commerce doesn't really work that way. Yeah. You know, if there's money, then it's harder to support everyone.
Yeah. I think it is. You are free, but you pay the price, right?
Yeah, that's what I think homelessness, that's what I find interesting about it is... There's a certain level of choice there. I mean, I know people, various things happen in their lives and they end up where they are, but there's a certain set of choices that probably happen where someone ends up homeless.
Oh, yeah.
And if you stay that way, you know, if you try to make a life of it, it seems like you're making a choice of, like, I'm giving up this stuff to get this stuff. And we all do that in various ways. You know, like, I do certain things to get money and to get other things that I maybe wouldn't do if I didn't want, you know.
Obviously.
A livelihood or whatever, and I think everyone makes those choices. They're just, some are like, that's normal, and then that's not normal.
Yeah.
You know, but like, who decides what the normal choice is, really?
The scale of justice. Is it going to tip more in favor of chaos or law? You tell me.
Yeah, and or should it be a balance? I mean, do we want more law, or do we want, you think so? Neutral? You want everything to be neutral?
Well, just, you know, you got to have the right amount of chaos. You got to have, without law, there can be no chaos, and vice versa.
Oh, like a light, no light without dark, and no dark without
okay,
light.
You know, yin and yang, yang, you know.
Don't start
yin
talking about
yang,
that.
You know, don't. Jonkers and Yang, brother.
Did you just call me and the Yang?
Yeah, that's.
You call him the
my,
Yang?
That's the name of my movie I'm working on, Me and the Yang.
Me and the Yang?
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear the description of it. What's it about?
Oh, I'm like a boxer named Yin.
Okay.
And the only person who has ever been defeated me is my brother. We're actually like twin brothers, and his
of course,
name is Yang.
Of course.
So, like, you know, Me and the Yang. It's just our life story growing up in boxing. And, we both married the same girl accidentally.
What?
Yeah, we both divorced her accidentally. A lot of stuff happens accidentally that we don't know.
It's mostly accidents?
Yeah, a lot of accidents.
How, do you have parents or did they die?
No, they died.
Accidentally?
They died accidentally.
Intentionally?
Yeah. No, it was an accident.
Okay.
Yeah, it was an accident. And,
you guys ever switch toothbrushes in it?
Accidentally.
Yeah.
And then also I think we've a bunch of times caught colds accidentally, you know.
What else has happened like accidentally, to use a
word? Well, we killed all the lobsters. Accidentally.
In the world?
Yeah, in the world.
Wow.
It's an epidemic. We caused it. They caught one of our colds. They caught, like, it went through the lobster community. They called it mammal fever.
Crustacean. Oh, but it moved on to the shell.
Yeah, the mammal flu. Yeah, okay. It went on. And I think it deteriorated all the shells. It basically melted all the shells of the lobsters. Very horrible.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
I don't know why we spent so much of the movie that, you know. That
how much is it, like half?
Yeah, it's half.
Wow.
I thought it was a pretty big thing. Like, the lobsters are all gone from the earth now.
So is that, like, a message?
Yeah, it is. As you all know, any good writing has a message. Underlying voice.
That's the saying.
It's pretty much, basically, it's a cupcake to your face.
The movie is a cupcake to your face?
That's what it is.
And you're a homeless person?
Yeah. Get your shit together. We're older. This will happen. You know, that's kind of my doomsday scenario. And we're lobsters. I wanted to kind of show people.
That's when you think, like, hey, man, when the world's at its worst, you'll know because there won't be any lobsters.
This might happen. This is one of the things that would happen if this race of being, you know, accidentally died.
Yeah. All right. Well,
But the second separate title of the movie is me and the Yang, where accidents can happen. It's actually not the working title anymore because you just gave me a weird. That's
no, it's fine. I think it's unnecessary. Oh, you're scribbling out. Wow, you actually
called it Me and the Yang.
I think it's fine to have a subtitle to explain stuff, but that made me more confused.
Well, because accidents, you know, will happen, especially to. Just see the movie.
Is it out? Like, you made it?
Just when it gets made.
Okay.
You're a producer on it. I don't know if you know that.
Is that what I signed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, I can sell some of my cubes to try to fund it.
No.
I'll sell my cubes.
Just sell your rectangles.
Come on, man. That's hurtful.
No, well, I'll quit being hurtful until I measure them. Really, I'm being unfair until I measure them.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just take a quick break, and then we can sand the edges off of the tension we have here. And come right back.
Let the sanding commence. Don't tell Levi, but we're back from trends.
What the fuck? Oh, we're back.
We're back.
Man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you're in
I didn't know you hit the end break button. Yeah. I was having a Fanta, and you just started.
What?
A Fanta.
Oh, I think you said Fanta.
No.
I was like, Peter Frampton has a soda? Or
well, I was going to have a Fresca, and then I changed it to a Fanta.
Oh, so mid-sentence.
No, I mean, what I was going to grab out of the fridge was a Fresca, and then I changed it to a Fanta, and so then my brain got
Fanta.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, Fanta comes alive. Do you think that would be?
Yep.
That's what they should sell, like a hit song, the taste of a hit song. What is the taste of a hit song?
Grapefruit.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like Fresca, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you believe that people, there's such a popularity with Fresca, and it's just, it's a grapefruit soda?
Yeah,
like, who would have guessed?
I wouldn't have thunk it. Yeah.
I think this is related to sandpaper. You know, it's in there.
Yeah.
Because sandpaper is about taking something rough,
mm-hmm.
making it smooth. That's what sandpaper
does.
That
was almost the plot of every Three Stooges short ever.
Was all about applying sandpaper to some topic.
The boys. Let's make them gentlemen.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's put a hat on them and give them a shave.
Gizzy them up, shan them up, set them loose. Give them etiquette lessons. Set those poor boys loose. Suddenly.
We're going to come back to my grapefruit thing, because I got to ask you, have you seen trailers for the new Three Stooges movie that's coming out?
Yes.
The big Hollywood blockbuster?
Yes.
You got thoughts?
I do. I have an uncle who really likes the Three Stooges.
Yeah, of course.
So
everyone has an uncle who really likes
this. I'm going to plead the fifth, because if he ever hears this, I don't want him to.
But, I mean, if you love the TV show, like the shorts and the old movies, are you excited about the new movie? I don't know if you are. Like, I when I was young, I really liked physical comedy. I still do.
Yeah, but I did too, but then...
The Stooges didn't make me laugh as hard as some other stuff.
They did until I saw other stuff. Like, I saw Laurel and Hardy.
And then you're like, okay,
and
this...
I saw Buster Keaton, and then I saw, like, the Marx Brothers, and then I kind of forgot about the Three Stooges.
Yeah, know? That happened to me, too. Like,
it's I think the natural progression, because they were always on TV.
Yeah.
More often than the other ones when I was a kid, so I'd always see them.
And I think for a while I thought, like, oh, well, the Three Stooges are a little more aggressive.
Yeah.
But if you watch Laurel and Hardy, that's pretty aggressive.
No,
there's some harsh aggressive stuff
they're
in there.
They're just really a little bit more patient. They're just a little more patient. The guys are a little
there's
bit
a,
better.
Patience is a really good description. Yeah. There is no pacing of, like, take your time with it.
Super patient.
It's like, I'm going to hit you with a saw, and then hit you with a hammer, and then we're done.
Well,
like, that's it.
We should say that the ratio of hits, like, you could pretty much cut them in half between, like, who gets hit and the Three Stooges between who gets hit and the Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah.
You know, but they, for some reason, half the hits is, like, way better.
Well, because the Stooges didn't have much build-up.
No, it was always just boom,
boom. Like, you know you're going to get hit, and now you're hit. And then Laurel and Hardy, like, most of one of the scenes was, there's a slow burn, you know something's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's
give me a
really
cup of water.
Exciting.
It'll be, like, 10 minutes, and I'll be a cup of water.
Yeah.
Beautiful, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Ollie would literally tell you, like, I am going to punch you in the face now.
And you would watch him do it, and it would be
stand.
Hysterical.
Exactly.
I thought it was funny.
Right, and that never happened in the Stooges, because if one of them was about to hit the other one, he knew right away that's going to be, he's going to reciprocate if
hands,
he, right,
be
right,
five
right.
Minutes of pink mark.
And I think a Stan Laurel would never defend himself.
Yes, no, he wouldn't.
Ollie could just be like, I'm going to.
There's two of them.
There's more than two Laurel and
Hardy. No, but there's two in specific that I used to have a tape of, like, all the old shorts that they had and stuff like that, and this one killed me, because it was the same guy that they harassed. It just was different locations. Like, the first one was them kind of, like, their first encounter with him. Basically, he owned a store. Like, they owned a general store, and he owned, like, a food store.
Yeah.
So,
on the same block? Was it on
it was literally, like, cross street from each other.
Yeah.
Which is really... perfect for what they do for the rest of the episode.
Because you need time to walk back and, like,
they
the whole thing is walking. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know how it got started, but it got started in the first 2 to 3 minutes. Somebody did something to somebody, like, the dude came over and did something to them, or they did something to the dude, and then when they'd go back to the store, the other dude from the other store would just come over to their store and just wreck stuff, or just do something, stare at him, and then walk over to his store. Little Laurel and Hardy would just look at each other, go over to his store, break something, and they just went back and forth, and it just built and built and built. It was like, the funniest thing, but they did a second one of that where they met him out, like, camping.
They set up a tent across from each other.
No. They were in the back. Forget what they were doing. Like, they were in the back of, like, a camper or something. Just him and the three of them. And they just would do shit to each other, like, cut their ties. But it was all that just staring at each other, watching you do it. Like, slowly do it. And then they would just do it. You know, it was beautiful. Like, and I don't think Three Stooges could ever have accomplished something like
that. Well, you know Joshua. Like, we don't usually mention people. But that's, I think, his favorite. Joshua's a guy both of us have performed and written stuff with. That's his. I think that's his favorite thing. Is the reciprocal destruction of Laurel and Hardy.
My favorite example. Where, of it. Like, it's great.
Because I think anytime I've done anything with him, he's been like, "How can we have a thing where we walk across the street?
Yeah, that's exactly.
And you watch us wait to get to the next moment of hurting each other to our own detriment, because it's beautiful. And that is, I think you've nailed it. That is nowhere to be seen in the Three Stooges. No. They are never like. There's never a moment of like. I'm going to wait while you come over here and do some shit.
Yeah,
and
then level of sophistication.
You're going to wait.
It's like a step up.
Because it is a patience. And that I also think, like, there's that whole Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin thing.
Yeah.
And, like, Buster Keaton was all about the waiting.
Yes.
And Chaplin had patience, too, but there was a magnification of it with Buster Keaton where it would be a really long time to wait for a little tiny thing to happen.
But he's... You know where I stand in the...
Of course.
I'm standing in the camp.
Any good man knows where to be.
He even made that movie where he made fun of a Charlie Chaplin movie, Go West.
Yeah, yeah.
He had like a pet cow. Didn't that cow follow him around everywhere?
Yes,
he was kind of poking fun at it. Like,
and he had a hard time making the cow move.
Yeah,
like that was a big piece. Yeah, that... I can't... Is that... That's the name of it? Yeah.
Go West?
Yeah.
I think, or something. I know there's also... Oh, God. I'm opening this door.
All right, we don't want to... we don't want to get into the Marx Brothers.
And the Little Mermaid movie. And they all had to go west, pretty much, I think, so... Or something.
So, I want to get back to what I was saying...
Sandpaper.
...about grapefruits.
Yes.
Because I really think there is a similarity between how... I think what sandpaper can do is represent. It can be a good metaphor for stuff.
Mm-hmm, like the universe.
And I think... I don't know what you mean.
Or life is like a box of sandpaper.
You never know how rough things are going
to
be.
Yeah,
but if you... Oh, wait. You just made me think of something that might actually be, like, a good, profound thing. Like...
That's like a box of sandpaper?
Well, the rougher the sandpaper...
They have different grades of gauges of sandpaper.
No? Right. And sometimes in life, if you rub up against something rough, it ultimately can pay off. You're going
to
be...
There's a cat somewhere that likes to rub up against sandpaper?
Probably.
Probably has, like, a...
With bald spots all over the place?
Yeah. It's probably very sad.
So I was going to say about grapefruit... I don't know if I mentioned I was going to say something about grapefruit. That, for me, the equivalent, the sandpaper for grapefruit to me was sugar. Like, I never wanted to eat grapefruit.
Yeah, you had to dump sugar all over.
And I would take it. My grandparents would always offer me, my father's parents would offer me grapefruit, you know, when I was with them, like, hanging out at their place. And I want an orange, at least. You know, if I'm having something citrus, I want it sweet.
When we were kids, we had, like, these... Grapefruit, special grapefruit.
With spoons. The sharpened spoons? Yeah.
It confused me. Like, you know, I'd be mad and grab one accidentally from my cereal.
And cut your mouth open?
Well, ours were, like, stuck. It was basically, like, the spoon head.
Yeah.
Stuck in, like, a bamboo thing. So it was, like, these we didn't have any other silverware that was like that. So I don't know why I kept always grabbing the bamboo silverware.
Sounds like you're an idiot. I mean, you were an idiot.
No, I am.
You're smart now.
No, I am. Throw a cupcake at me. Boom. Hits me.
I don't have any. No, you got to punt them. You're punting cupcakes.
You can punt them. Yeah.
I can't. I would never punt a cupcake.
Try if you like it.
But I think the sugar thing, like, I think I got offered a grapefruit, and my grandmother was like, here's a grapefruit. And I was like, this is really sour.
This is nasty.
She's like, well, put a little sugar. Sprinkle a little sugar. And I think.
Sugar on it. Right?
I feel giddy rough.
Shoot me. Is
that about grapefruit?
Yeah.
Is that song?
Yeah, initially, yeah. Because they would, they had a nickname for girls' boobs called grapefruits, so that they'd push her around.
Yeah. I'm hot, sticky, sweet. Because sticky, that's when you get the sugar on a grapefruit. Yeah. That's going to be pretty sticky. It's going to be sweet and mess.
It's hot.
And it's tangy now. Use your spoon with the sharpened a bamboo handle. Those lyrics are there. If you pay attention.
Kind of mumbles there.
Yeah. You got a bowl just a little bigger than the grapefruit. You remember that part?
Yes. Who can? I mean, everybody remembers Def Leppard.
Yeah. Def Leppard.
Name of Love.
They were ahead of their time.
They're so ahead of their time.
The time isn't. They haven't caught up.
Yeah.
They're still, they can't quite.
Well, they're pouring sugar on everything.
Do you think they do now?
What else are they going to do? You know, everybody's got to make that comeback. You know?
Yeah.
They're definitely poised, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. Has there been the band in a commercial for, like, cereal, like breakfast cereal, like Rice Krispies, where they're pouring sugar on it? Has that happened yet? That's got to happen.
Yeah,
it's just them and, like it's a scene, and they're at the breakfast table, and they have Rice Krispies in a bowl, and they're taking a bite, and they stare at each other. And then they break and you pull it, and they start pouring the sugar on it. And they all start thinking, pour some sugar on me.
Yeah, they're just the sugar council. I think they should.
They got to get on that. Because that would move. I would buy Rice Krispies.
I would just have the commercial be them on stage, and then just, like, helicopters coming, just unloading just
sugar on them.
Yeah, or just stopping a fire.
Yeah.
Pouring sugar on and stuff, and you know,
just all over their faces.
Pouring sugar in the ocean, making new Kool-Aid. You know, in
ocean Kool-Aid.
Ocean, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
That'd be fun. That's what I would do.
Who wouldn't want to do that? That's a great plan.
Yeah, probably some people, but you know, we don't need their types.
I don't like Def Leppard.
Yo, man, nobody likes Def Leppard. Did you guys talk about Def Leppard?
We just were for a minute, John.
Yeah, nobody likes Def Leppard.
No,
except my mom. My mom loves Def Leppard.
Your mom loves Def Leppard?
She loves heavy metal music.
Really?
Yeah, all types and variations.
That's surprising.
She would consider that on the softer side.
Def Leppard?
Yeah.
She likes, like, the hard stuff?
Oh, she likes hard stuff, too. Yeah, well,
Sepultura?
Think of the hardest stuff you can think of. She's got stuff you ain't even heard of past that.
Okay, a Deicide. Does she like Deicide?
Yeah, I'm sure. She knows it all, man. That's all she does. She's got nothing to do all day.
Deicide's like a thrash. Like I can't even remember.
She probably loves
death metal. It's death metal.
She loves them, I'm sure.
Fast guitars and,
yeah,
like,
she just
Cookie
spends
Monster
all day,
voices.
Like, illegally downloading, like, just heavy metal song.
Your mom rips... She rips music?
Yeah, she rips and shreds that stuff. That's how she puts it.
She's going to... She might get sued.
Nah, she's fine. She's fine.
The record labels are really into suing old people.
Nah, she'll be okay, man. I got to protect it. Don't worry about it. I got a lot of stuff encrypted and encoded and locked in, you know, secrets have been secrets on the computer, so she'll be fine.
I'm just surprised.
It'll make it look like my uncle Teffer did it.
Oh, so if your mom gets in trouble, it's going to fall on your uncle?
Oh, it goes to my uncle. Yeah, he's an asshole.
Okay.
He'll be nice to him.
That's fair.
He's a preacher, so, you know.
What, your uncle's a preacher?
Yeah, one of them. Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, you gotta ask me questions about my family sometime. I got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, I mean, you're not one of the co-hosts, so...
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry.
We don't... Oh,
when you're right...
Here he goes.
Yeah. You proved your point.
He's walking away shaking his head.
It's too bad. I'll have to ask him about that later. His mom does love heavy metal, man. It gets annoying. She'll pick us up sometimes. Like at the movie theater.
You used to be really into heavy metal, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
When you were like
don't
teenager?
We all go through that I mean, not all of us go through that phase, but don't we have like music that we can
white
go
dudes
through?
Do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a white dude thing. What were some of your favorites?
What, heavy metal?
Yeah.
I mean, mine was boring, like Pantera, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. You were going to defend me, you know, Slayer, you know, like the big.
Yeah, I was like Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth.
Maybe even Tool, which isn't exactly heavy metal, but they
yeah, no,
like,
it's
artful
art
heavy
stuff,
metal
art
or something.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Numerology, they're into numerology.
Yeah, yeah. What is that? Yeah, there's a thing
I didn't think everything Primus is heavy metal, but they would always be on Headbangers Ball.
I feel like a lot of heavy metal bands.
Face and Wolf, of course.
Yeah, are they heavy metal?
They were.
They're like hard rock, you know, like it's real close. But I feel like a lot of heavy metal bands are, like, way smarter than their audiences.
Oh, way smarter. Yeah, you gotta be.
And they, like, didn't play that up. You know, like, they were, you know... Some of the songwriting is complex and really interesting and not just... I mean, there's a lot of death stuff, you know, like darkness and,
Master
like...
Master Puppets.
Sort of James Dio influence, you know, demons.
Yeah, you're, like, kind of a good-time hard rock band. Those are, you know, your Van Halen, your Def Leppard, you know.
Yeah, those are, like, a party band, you know.
You got your guys that growl,
AC/DC.
Too. You know,
yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, you know, like I mentioned Deicide to Jompers earlier. I don't know if you've ever heard them.
No, I heard it. I just said my mom's probably heard of them.
Talking to Dan. It wasn't... What is...
It's okay. It's over.
But they were...
I know. You're right. You're right.
Okay. He's not even on mic. He's just shouting. Just shouting into here. But Deicide was very much like that. Like they had sandpaper rubbed in there,
like dude, put
in their throats.
And,
that's what it really sounded like to me. Like that, he just said.
You think someone's ever made music? Like I know Steve Albini showed Bush a trick on how to. I don't even know. He produced one of their albums, and there was.
Well, you mean the band Bush?
Yeah, the band
Gavin Rosdale.
Yeah, like he produced. You know, I forget. There's some trick he taught them how to get like some better sound out of their guitar. Like you know, because I don't know. He you know. He's
oh,
like
did he teach him to use a machine head?
Something like that.
Is that what he did?
I don't know. I shouldn't even have brought this up, but why I brought it up was because like has somebody like some producer like maybe tried to get some weird effect,
Kind
of like putting sandpaper.
I bet someone's like scratched a record for like a hip hop beat with sandpaper, you know, like to try to get a little like more accentuated.
Yeah, you know, every once
in
a while somebody will try to make a song out of nothing but kitchen utensils. Some band will do that, you know, every 20 years or so.
Right, and they think they're like breaking ground, or
they think sandpaper's a kitchen utensil.
Yeah, do you have a drawer? Do you have a sandpaper drawer in your kitchen?
Don't we all?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
With the different grades, you know, like the...
Before we get a kitchen, I got nowhere to put the sandpaper.
Exactly. I think that's where kitchens first came from, is like, what are we going to do with all this sandpaper? We should create
build a room for it.
A room in the house.
And then, I just end up cooking in here in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did Jumper say if there was a guest?
Yeah, there's a guest.
Do you want
me to bring him in?
I don't know. Are you ready? I feel like you, you're the intermediary between me and Jumper's game. But he's just, like, cutting you out.
Yeah, just bring him in, Jumpers, when you feel like it.
Thank you.
You might want to be on mic, Dan. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Talking to you.
Why are you? You guys are both just shouting away from.
Well, I was talking to him, you know, when I'm right.
No, you don't got to get defensive with me.
I'm not, just
saying. Man, you're really getting bristly. You don't have
like
to bristle.
Sandpaper? I'm like hitting you with some sandpaper now.
No, it doesn't. You know, we don't have to just mention sandpaper nonstop. Like that's that's a little much. So let's just relax about it already.
Okay, so here's your guest.
Hi. Welcome to the Trend Studio.
Hey, welcome. Have a seat.
I'm Levi, and that's Dan.
Talk about that. Well, we got cabana furniture. It's a long story. Just have a seat.
It's no problem. It's no problem. I can just sit wherever.
Yeah.
I can sit on the floor or.
Just sit wherever you feel comfortable. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, just make yourself at home. There's a bench and there's a. I'll just sit wherever.
How about I count to three and you just sit?
Oh, okay.
Two and three.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
You sat in a chair.
I did.
Sorry about that. Actually, that's not a chair. It's a cube. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm going to get up. Yeah, it is a cube, too, Dan. I want you to note that that's a cube.
I'm gonna measure this. Hang on a second.
Yeah, go ahead. I can go if you guys want.
No, just help me measure this quick.
If you want me to.
Your little button?
Oh, I'll get up. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, this is a cube.
Yeah, I told you.
Yeah, sit down. Sorry. Copy one, two, and three.
Okay.
So we assume you're probably here. Because you have knowledge about sandpaper or some kind of affinity with sandpaper?
Oh, yes. My name's Maurice.
Yes. Nice to meet you, Maurice. I'm Dan.
Hey, I'm Levi. Hello. I have a history with sandpaper.
Okay.
I have a disease.
Okay. What kind of disease is this? Is this contagious or anything?
No. It's mostly psychosomatic is the term that they use. So it comes from my brain.
It's not a real disease. It's just something that your brain makes.
Right? It is real. Well, it is real. It is. Yeah, Dan, don't attack the guy.
I didn't mean to upset you. I just meant it's a disease of the brain.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's hard for me to talk about, but I...
Well, it's okay, sir. You're sent here for a reason.
You see these scars on my arm.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I...
Oh, Jesus. You got them on both arms.
I rubbed sandpaper on my skin to try to smooth out the rough spots on my skin.
Oh, my God. Levi, can you see that, Levi? That looks horrible.
Yeah, you can... Do you have, a jacket you can put on?
Yeah,
or
do you need, some Band-Aids? Like, you're actually kind of bleeding right now.
No, it's fine. It'll stop in a minute.
You do know that the human body is naturally smooth. It doesn't actually need any... doesn't have any rough spots to, like...
Well, that's part of my... Down. That's part of my disorder. I view myself as being really rough and harsh and unclean, and I try to wipe away the filth from my body, and I can't.
Well, see, all you got to do with that, I mean, I suggest, have you ever heard of a bath or a shower or something?
It's not. It's more complicated than that. It's the way I see myself.
So you look fine to me. You don't look dirty at all.
It's sort of like a dysmorphia. I see myself differently than you see me.
Well, obviously.
And I'm working hard at getting better.
But when did you start? How long have you been doing this?
Since I was young. Since I was four years old.
And how old do you now?
I'm 47.
Oh.
Why do you react that way?
You look. You look a lot younger.
Well, I took sandpaper to my face. It's sort of like a.
I thought
the world's most powerful exfoliant.
Yes, yes. Actually, I thought you had a beard when you came in here, but it actually is just
it's scar tissue. Scar.
You have a scar beard.
Yeah, I can't actually grow a beard because of the damage I've done to my skin.
Scars where your beard are. Yeah.
But I go and speak. To young people who face this similar issue.
Other people have this issue?
Not many.
Has it been classified by the medical community?
There's contention.
There's always is usually in the medical field.
They just came out with the new diagnostic manual number 5, and it's not included. There's a self-loathing, which is a form of narcissism.
Yeah.
But there's supposed to be a subcategory of sandpaper yourself. Yes, but they haven't added it yet. And so part of the work I do is to raise awareness so this will be accepted by the greater community.
Well, it's amazing you're trying to establish this, chapter in that book. It's incredible work you're doing, sir.
Thank you.
It's an incredible amount of pain you must go through. You must feel very strongly.
Well, it's mostly mental. You know, you get used to the pain on my skin, and I don't usually... I got nervous coming to speak today So that's where there was a bit of a flare-up, and I did sand my arms just a bit.
But, oh, yeah, right before you came on?
Yes, in the lobby there.
Yeah, it was sick.
Well, your gentleman who works for you...
I told him to cut it out.
He offered me some sandpaper when I came in.
Well, today's topic is sandpaper. I guess he was probably just briefed and told.
Well, I don't judge him. It's not
that's
his fault.
The wrong thing to give you.
Well, I usually avoid sandpaper, but I'm not angry with him. I understand he's just...
No, he was cool.
...doing his job. And what I want to do is just let everyone know that there is help, that they can find help. So I'm sure you have a lot of listeners who are facing this illness where they sandpaper themselves. They haven't coined a term for it yet, so I don't know if you have any suggestions.
Oh, actually, I think we installed a phone line here. I think we got to... John, did you install that phone line? Yeah, I got it, man.
Oh, Dan, are we going to take calls?
See that shit lighting up?
We haven't really done this yet. Dan, if you want to take some... Yeah, well, let's take some calls.
Let's go to line one here. Let's see.
Oh, okay, okay.
You're talking to Trends?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on Trends.
Yeah, man. I bought myself some paper, too.
You do?
Yeah, I'm really proud of you.
Thanks.
It takes a lot to let people know that we rub ourselves with sandpaper to feel clean.
We can't.
Dirty.
We can't be ashamed anymore.
We can't. I'm glad that you're bringing this to the public, to the people.
Well, there's a support group. You can join my support group. It's online because we.
What's the name of it, sir? Please, quickly.
It's Sandpaper Anonymous. If you go to Sandpaper Anonymous.
I don't know how to spell it. I'm going to have to look it up. Oh, I didn't know I was going to have to do some work to fix my problems here.
You're good for calling. I thank you for calling.
You're doing wonderful work.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that was kind of a weird call.
A strange call. Well, I guess we're getting... No offense, sir. I bet we'll probably get some strange people calling.
No, we're a strange bunch. Yeah, and
Well, line two is here, sir.
Yeah. Hit it up.
Hey, dude, I did that
Hey, hello, you're on Trends.
Yeah, it's me.
I don't know who
I was the guy in before with them.
Oh, the...
Yeah.
The tiny...
Yeah.
This is...
I sandpaper myself, too. I sandpaper myself to sleep. I don't like how I look.
You do?
I sandpaper myself to sleep. Do you do that?
Yes, I used to. I've gotten past it now, and I...
How did you overcome it?
Well, I have to see a therapist weekly, and I go to support groups.
I do both those things.
And I do a lot of journaling.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I just write about what I'm going through, and
that's beautiful.
I write notes to myself, you know. You don't need the sandpaper, you know. You don't need the sandpaper. Yes, make that your mantra.
Don't need the sandpaper.
No, rub soft things against your skin.
Soft things on my skin.
I deserve feathers and pillows.
I deserve feathers. No bricks. Just
no
pillows.
No bricks. Be strong.
I am strong. I can't hang up the phone, so I'm going to just fly away.
Dan, will you hang up?
Yeah.
Jesus. Is there one more call?
I think there's one more call, man. Get it going here.
Go ahead if you want to. Hi, you're on Trends.
You need to take your person, this deity that you have, and take them off the air.
What? I'm sorry. Are you talking about me?
Yes.
I'm not a god, sir.
Your kind always use that phrasing. You say you're not a god. None of us are gods. We are made in God's image. I need you to grow up.
Is this my dad?
Yes, this is your father. I need you to grow up, Don.
You have to stop harassing me. You have to stop harassing me. I've changed my name to avoid you.
If love is harassment, then lock me up.
Well, I've tried to get you locked up. I have a restraining order. You're not supposed to be calling me.
Well, you're not supposed to be within 50 feet of sandpaper, Don.
Well, it's not my fault. They had it in their lobby.
What kind of fool would offer you sandpaper? Get them on the phone.
I can't make him get on the phone.
I gave him sandpaper.
Oh, Jumpers is...
Yeah. What kind of a person are you to give sandpaper to a man in his medical condition? How many years we've been trying to get him, weaning him off of sandpaper?
Dad, it's not his fault. He didn't...
It's not my fault. I didn't know. He should have told me that he's not supposed to be allowed sandpaper.
Well, I did try to tell you. I said I can't...
He always tries to tell people. I know my son.
Thank you. Dad, this is the first time you stood up
for me. I'm driving down there, son.
How does he know where I am? My father's coming here.
Hey, young,
he's coming.
He's coming.
Oh, I can't be here when he gets here. You need to hide me.
You gotta be here when he...
No, he's very confrontational and he sends me down a spiral.
But he can't. He can't be within like 50 feet of you, right?
And I end up sandpapering myself
if
I see him.
Look, sir, we're gonna remove all the sandpaper. I'm sorry, we have a sandpaper drawer in our kitchen here, but we're gonna...
Oh, there's so much sandpaper! I have to get out of here!
Sir,
I'm gonna run out that doorway, whether the door is open or not.
Well, I'm opening. Oh, shit.
Ah! Well, he's pretty fast.
And he grabbed all the sandpaper off the front counter.
Great.
What a dickhead.
There's going to be a bloody mess out there.
That's for his father to deal with.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's truly a father's problem.
How do you like them phone lines I installed?
That's amazing. We got to use those phone lines again.
It took me 6 hours to do it.
I didn't even know you were doing that.
I don't know. It's a secret. So surprise you.
Thanks, man. That's great.
You're welcome, man. Hey.
I love it when you finish a sentence with a look.
Yep.
It's perfect for audio.
That's why we love them.
Hey, you know what? We are just about out of time. Yeah, if we don't have any more calls, we should probably...
the shit out of this episode.
Yeah, we did. It's smooth.
And no rough edges at all.
Nothing
in this
at
motherfucker.
All. Damn right.
Yeah.
All right, well, as usual, you've been listening to Trends, which is usual. And I'm your host, Levi, and over there's Dan. And Dan, you're going to take us out on your famous catchphrase?
Yes, remember, they don't make Chinese girls with green eyes, Mr. Button.
Oh.